Good morning, family. Good morning. It is so wonderful to see you this morning. There is an event chat and a stage chat. If you can go into the stage chat and let us know that you are here, it is just wonderful to be with you in the presence of the Lord. Go ahead and let us know that you are here. Amen. Good morning. And I'm going to ask Lady Rochelle to come forward and just lead us in our opening songs and to greet everyone.
Good morning, everybody. Praying you are well. The 2nd of May. This year seems like it's going by quickly, and, you know, I guess they all can feel like that at times. I am grateful this morning just to be here, to be alive, to be well, and praying that you are well too. We are going to start off this morning in Psalm 66, and our songs of worship this morning are songs that we are just going to sing to God in acknowledgement of and appreciation for who He is and what He continues to do on our behalf as His children. Psalm 66, and I'm reading from the New King James Version, reads, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all the earth. Sing out the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your works. Through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves to you. All the earth shall worship you and sing praises to you. They shall sing praises to your name, Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is awesome in His doing toward the sons of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the river on foot. He rules by His power forever. His eyes observe the nations. Do not let the rebellious exalt themselves, Selah. Oh, bless our God, you peoples, and make the voice of His praise to be heard, who keeps our soul among the living and does not allow our feet to be moved. For you, O God, have proved us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but you brought us out to rich fulfillment. I will go into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer you burnt sacrifices of fat animals with the sweet aroma of rams. I will offer bulls with goats, Selah. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will declare what He has done for my soul. I cried to Him with my mouth, and He was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear, but certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor His mercy from me." For those of you who are students and entering into this last week of classes, I pray just that during our time together, God would encourage you and help you to finish strong this semester. And for those of us who are not students, whatever we are facing, I also pray that God will continue to encourage and to offer us His strength and to keep us grounded and strengthened in Him. I'm just going to read that last section again from the New Living Translation. And as we listen to it, I invite you to think about where this is true for you or where this has been true for you, and just invite us to remember and to praise the God who hears us and who has not turned away from our prayers. It says, starting in verse 16, and this is Psalm 66 for those who may have just joined, "Come and listen, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what He did for me. For I cried out to Him for help, praising Him as I spoke. If I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God did listen. He paid attention to my prayer. Praise God, who did not ignore my prayer or withdraw his unfailing love from me. Amen. I praise God this morning that he has heard my prayers, and I pray that he hears yours as well, and I'm grateful that he does not turn his face nor withdraw his unfailing love from us. Let's sing our praises to him this morning.
You live.
my soul rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. We We're going to go back again and sing I Love You, Lord. And this time as we sing it, the song speaks about the songs of worship that we sing to Him and it being a sweet sound to His ear. I also want us to think about just the way that we live our lives and that even the way that we live would be an offering of worship to Him. That as we live our lives, that it would be a sweet sound, a sweet aroma, a sweet reflection of who God is to us, who He has been. And as we come again to the song, I Exalt Thee, I invite you at that point to close your eyes and just have a very personal moment with God at that time and just sing from the first person your exaltation to Him. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we can come and offer our praise and our worship to you this morning. We thank you that in the words of Psalm 66, you have not turned away our prayers. You have not turned your mercy away from us. And God, we ask this morning that as we gather together here in your name, that you will continue to lead us forth in your strength, in your power, with your direction. Let us confess our sins before you this morning, repenting of them in your presence. And let us be led forth with your peace, with your love, with the full assurance of our salvation in you. Please have your way in, around us, and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lady Rochelle, for leading us in song and worship and just allowing us to set our hearts and our intentions before the Lord. Good morning once again, BK. Good morning, Ozzy. Just good morning to everyone. If you are visiting us for the first time or are a special guest, we just honor you. We are so grateful the Lord brought you our way. And family, we love to see you and we love that we can be here together. Today, right now, is an opportunity that we have for what we call the love assault. And it is an opportunity just to virtually hug and greet each other. And there's a lot of assault in this world, and there are a lot of things that happen that are not pleasant. But we at the Black Church at Yale like to make it our intention and our action to have a positive impact on those around us, showing the love of Christ and open up opportunity for conversation. So I invite you to go to a section of this platform called Networking, and it is a speed love assault opportunity just to greet one another. You can have brief up to two-minute conversations. The system will ask you for your permission to share your audio and video, and you can grant the permission, and you can turn either one off after you get started, and just say hi to each other. If you're having technical difficulties, if you're on the iPhone, then try the Safari browser. If you are on any other kind of technology, try the Chrome browser. And if something doesn't work, you can shut down your browser, close it out completely, open it back up. Feel free to log out, log back in, and just switch it up to see if you can get it to work. There's also an iPhone iOS app that you can try if you desire to. So please, let's return back here at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time. 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Please go and greet each other in the name of the Lord. Thank you, family. Okay. All right, I'm going to try it one more time. So, two announcements, two messages. One is, if you are a graduating senior, I'm starting now, if you are a graduating senior, please let me know. If you are completing a program of any sort, please let me know. BK would like to celebrate you, and we would like to cheer you on and just recognize you. So please find a way to send me a note, send me an email, and text message, smoke message, passenger pigeon, however you want to get the message to me. Let me know that you are graduating or you're finishing a program so that we can celebrate you. And I'm thankful for Rebecca and Marvin for letting me know that I had the music playing and you couldn't hear me. So thank you very much for giving me the heads up. And the second thing that I want to announce is that this Thursday, BK is going to have a game night, just a little friendly competition. And I think we're going to play Scribble online, but it's 8:30 p.m. is the game night, and it will be virtual. You can contact me for information, but we'll send out the link for it. It will likely be on Zoom. And you know, this is the last week of classes, I believe, and before the finals hit for those who are in the academic setting, this is an opportunity just to have a little study break even as you move forward. So we ask that you would join us at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursday, and please look out for an email or in one of our message groups for a link to participate. Okay. So I'm going to share my screen with you. Okay. Amen. Amen. If you would open up your Bibles and turn to the book of Exodus, and I'll try to show it on the screen as well. Exodus chapter 33. And yes, Rebecca, thank you for reminding me in the chat there will be prizes for the first, second, and third place gift cards for our game night. So if you would, please turn to Exodus chapter 33. Repeat after me. Push ahead. Push ahead. Go ahead and chat to your neighbor. Push ahead. Chat to your other neighbor. Push ahead. The Jewish people, the Israelites, the children of the person Israel, also known as Jacob, of the lineage Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, are generational recipients of a divine covenant that God made with the patriarch Abraham. And therefore, they are also the beneficiaries of a divine promise that requires a journey to fulfill that promise. The promise was made in a moment, but it is received, it is realized in a process. You probably can relate. In a moment, you can receive your acceptance into a program, but it is a process to complete it. Amen. In a moment, you receive the job offer, the offer of internship, but it takes a process to execute. You now have to work that job. You have to carry out that internship. In the text, the Jewish people, the Israelites, the children of Israel, are in their journey from bondage in Egypt to freedom. But not yet have they arrived to their promised place of rest with and in God. So in the book of Exodus, in the 33rd chapter, beginning at the first verse to the 15th verse, we find these words. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Depart and go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt, to the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your descendants I will give it. And I will send my angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanites and the Amorites and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in your midst, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people." Verse 4, "And when the people heard this bad news, they mourned, and no one put on his ornament. For the Lord has said to Moses, say to the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. I could come up into your midst in one moment and consume you. Now, therefore, take off your ornaments, that I may know what to do to you. So the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by Mount Horeb. Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was, whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle, that all the people rose. And each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, when Moses entered the tabernacle, that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door. The pillar of cloud was and represented to the children of Israel the presence of God. When God was leading them from Egypt and through the Red Sea and through where they were going, it says that the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them by the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. And so they could travel by day and by night because God was a pillar of cloud guiding them along the way. So verse 9 again, and it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. All the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and worshiped, each man in his tent door. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have also found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to God, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us from here." Verse 14, and God said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to God, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us from here." Push ahead in God's presence. For the time that we are together, I want to speak from the theme and converse with you. Push ahead in God's presence. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be with you today. God, I thank you for the journey that you have your daughter and your son, the journey that you have each person under the sound of my voice. God, I thank you right now that we have the opportunity to spend time with you. God, I pray that in your grace and your mercy, you will show up and do for us and with us and through us and in spite of us and even because of us all that you purpose to do. Help us to leave here knowing more about who you are and who we are in relationship with you. God, help us to see our journey more clearly. Help us to see this moment of transition more clearly. God, help us to know how to push ahead in all that you've called us to do, in who all you've called us to be, to go where you've called us to go, and to become all whom you've called us to become. God, we don't take this time for granted. God, I pray that you will do what only you can do. Give us the words of life. God, sit me down, quiet me, but you stand up and take all the glory as your own. Let us not leave here the same, but let us leave here changed, even transformed. Have your will and your way in this place. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. In every life, in every journey, in every race, in every adventure, there are moments of transition. From not in it to starting. From beginning to entering the halfway point. From progressing to entering the last mile. Whatever stage you are, whether you are about to begin, entering the second half at the midway point, in the final stretch, the transition zone, the crossover moment is a critical period for your life. It does not matter what the experience is. The transition zone, the crossover moment, is a critical period because it is often here that things stop or progress. It is often here that things are lost or won. It is often here that things grow or shrink, are affirmed or denied, are bought or sold, canceled or renewed. I draw your attention to this critical period because it is sometimes the place where God reveals himself to you. The enemy is often active, trying to wear you down along the way, even before you get started, such that when it is time to transition, you bail out, you don't show up, or you make some critical decision that is against your best interest. It is true that momentum is a leader's best friend, that momentum is a visionary's best friend, that momentum is a journeyman's, a journeywoman's best friend, for momentum is the wind at your back that helps you to push forward with less effort. The more the momentum grows, the less effort you need to do the same job. Conversely, the decrease in momentum necessitates an increase in effort to do that same job. So while momentum in your life may be a good thing, momentum is also something to be stewarded. Think about riding a bike. You may pedal to get started. At some point, the bike may continue without a similar need for you to pedal. However, many of us learn quickly, or maybe not quickly enough, that what is required of you is steering. You steward the momentum by steering, by channeling, by harnessing. So this transition period is one of motion, movement in time, if nothing else. The transition period is the place of exchange, the place of renewal, the moment of clarification. It's here that I exchange old habits with new habits, old patterns of thought with new patterns of thought, relationships that don't serve me well with relationships important for this new leg of my journey. It's where I exchange broken beliefs with critical confidences. I exchange what's holding me back for what will propel me forward. It's here that I renew my commitments, my convictions. I renew my strength. I restore my appetite to proceed. I renew my covenant relationships. It is here that there is clarification. Clarification of who I am. Clarification of who God is. Clarification of who I am in Christ. It is here that there is clarification of purpose. Clarification of potential. Of the promises that will be fulfilled. Of the nature of the journey. What's next in this next leg, what will be required of me, what will be required of those around me, and even who will be those against me. This transition period is a place of exchange, a place of renewal, and a place of clarification. Say to your neighbor, push ahead. Push ahead. Without question, where you are going next requires a push to get you fully into it. Hannah, when she is trying to ride her bike, I try to teach her that if she is going from no movement, being stopped, she might have to give herself a push and then start pedaling. When she is riding and she comes to a bit of an incline, I tell her that if she is going to keep moving, to keep to push those pedals to keep going up. When she is riding and comes to a bit of an incline, I tell her that she has to keep pushing those pedals to keep going up. Now, coming down off of a hill and entering a straightaway, the momentum coming off of a decline will carry you, but only so far. The coasting slows at some point. When Hannah wants to continue her progress to the end, I tell her, keep pedaling and push to the end, for you are almost home. Push. Say to your neighbor, push. Today, whatever stage you are, whether you are about to begin, at the midway point and entering the second half, or if you are at the final stretch, push to get and keep going forward. The Israelites know a thing or two about taking a journey. They know a thing or two about making a transition. They know a thing or two about pushing through and moving forward. Today I want to begin a conversation with you using part of the children of Israel's life for our learning. Say to your neighbor, push ahead. Push ahead in God's presence. There are three lessons, there are three messages in this passage that I believe God wants for us to know, wants for me to share with us. I'll give you the first one today. In Exodus chapter 33, verses 7 through 11, Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was, whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle, that the people rose, and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. All the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and worshiped, each man in his tent door. Verse 11, so the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And he, Moses, would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Today's one lesson, today's message, stay in God's presence. Wait in God's presence. Stay in the place of God's presence. Wait in the place of the presence of God. Joshua, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Today, family, I recognize that it is not popular to wait. Modern technologies and conveniences greatly reduce, if not seemingly eliminate altogether, waiting time. Moreover, when and if you do need to wait, during this shortened window, you can quickly do several other things. Check your email, send a text, do a search on Google, watch a quick video clip, thereby eliminating any wait altogether. Last night, Hannah asked for pizza for dinner. So we ordered pizza from a local place. We picked it up and brought it home and had it for dinner, and we put the leftovers in the refrigerator. I know how mealtime today will go. After service, Lady Rochelle is going to say to me, "I am warming Hannah some pizza for lunch. Would you like for me to warm you a slice?" I will say yes. In 10 minutes, I'm going to leave this computer and go to the dining room. There will be no food on the table. I'll then go into the kitchen, and Lady Rochelle will just be putting pizza into the oven. And I'll say, "Oh, the pizza's not ready. You asked me about it 10 minutes ago." Lady Rochelle will say, "Yes, the oven was preheating and just got to temperature. The pizza will be ready in 12 minutes. Now, when you look at the oven, you'll see the burners on top. And about 2 feet, 24 inches, maybe 36 inches, directly above the burners, I mean straight up in a line, is another oven, a microwave oven. It would take me all of 3 seconds to snatch my pizza from the conventional oven, put it on a plate, and put it into the microwave oven. In another 45 seconds, not even, I'd have a hot, reheated slice of pizza ready to go. In under 60 seconds, I can be at my dining room table eating my lunch, albeit eating my alone, but I have my lunch and my food nonetheless, and I'm no longer hungry. So I already know that at mealtime today, I will have a dilemma. The dilemma of waiting. Because if you ask Lady Rochelle why she uses an oven when there is a microwave oven, she will say that the food reheats better and tastes better from a conventional oven than a microwave oven. So I will have to choose whether to wait for the better dining experience or to eat right away. Today, it is not popular to wait, whether it is for God or for food or for anything in between. Also today, it is not popular to stay at home. COVID stay-at-home orders, need I say more? Folks were ready to fight at the suggestion, at the declaration that they needed to stay home, even without the official order. Staying at home as an act of wisdom has been trying even for the best of us. Some people live life on the move, and having to stay in one place is a whole different existence, unfamiliar as well as undesired. Joshua, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. In the presence of the Lord is joy. Psalm 16:11, you will show me the path of life, and in your presence is the fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures evermore. In the presence of the Lord is communication and direction. Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Exodus 33:9, it says, and it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. In the presence of the Lord is protection. Psalm 91:1-16, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the pillars of perilous pestilence. And he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only look with your eyes, only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him. Let's not be in a hurry to get back to common things. Let's not be in a hurry to leave the presence of the Lord. The Bible says that Joshua, a young man, stayed in the tabernacle. Peter reminds those of us being grafted into the family of God that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. When you leave, when you lose awareness of God's presence, there is no telling when you will get back into God's presence. When you leave God's presence, sin is more likely. Ephesians 5:8, Paul tells us, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And today our light comes from Jesus, God's living word. For Jesus said, John records in chapter 12, verse 46, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. When you leave God's presence, you are left with yourself. I appreciate the song in the garden that says, and he walks with me. And he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Joshua was of a different generation. Joshua was and represents a different set of priorities, a different set of ambitions, a different set of disciplines. You may recall Joshua will be one of 2 out of 12 who gets a sneak peek into the promises of God. God even chooses Joshua to continue in leadership where Moses leaves off. This week I challenge you to tarry, because things are better with God. Jesus told his disciples in Luke 24, verse 49, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Family, I encourage you, before you rush into the next dimension, before you cross that finish line, in fact, in order to get over into the next leg of your journey, to wait. But why wait? Because God has what you need. Jesus says in Acts 1 verse 4, he commanded them, saying, "You have heard of me that John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Because when they received the Spirit, God said, "The power will come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." You wait on God because he has the power that you need. Well, how should I wait, Pastor? Well, you should wait with a posture of thanksgiving. You should continue in prayer without ceasing. You should sing because you have to, not just because you want to, not just because you think it's a good idea. You should sing the songs, "I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee." I sing this song not because I feel like singing it, but I sing this song as a declaration of what is true. I need thee, God. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. And not only do you wait and not only do you sing and pray without ceasing, but you read because your life depends on it. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 4:4, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And you shall also wait by doing God's will, because it is your sustenance. When his disciples came and saw Jesus speaking to the woman at the well, and they had gone off to get food, and Jesus said he was okay, he said to them in John 4:34, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." So what is this all about? In closing, family, even though we have very natural things that we are progressing towards, and even though we have earthly things and good things that we are stretching towards, let's remember what Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." Family, I encourage you today, as we close right now and we enter into our closing song, I encourage you today to push ahead. But when you push ahead, do it in God's presence. And I encourage you to be like Joshua and to even be of Joshua's generation, to wait in God's presence, to wait in the place where God is going to come and is going to speak the things of the Lord. Wait in that place. Don't be so quick to go back to what everyone else is doing. Don't be so quick to leave the place that you know where God is. It doesn't even have to be the place that you've created yourself, because Joshua was in the place that Moses created. Joshua benefited as Moses' servant from the relationship that Moses had with God. So you don't even have to have everything worked out. But if you know where God is, go to that place and wait. As you prepare for your finals, wait. As you prepare to finish this last trek of classes, wait. As you wrap up your course of study, as you wrap up your program of work, wait in the presence of God. Family, I ask you right now, just give you a moment to think, what is your prayer request today? And what are your praise reports? For what do you have to be thankful that you want to offer up a name before God? And also, what is your prayer request? What would you like for us to lift up before God on your behalf? Right now, we're going to sing our closing song. We've come this far by faith. And even as we meditate on this song and begin to sing it, think about how far God has brought you and how it's through our steadfastness, really God's steadfastness and our faith in Him that is carrying us all along the way. And God, I pray even now that as we enter into this time where we're singing this song, we've come this far by faith, and we're just declaring how we've gotten to this point, and we're also declaring how we're going to move forward. God, I pray that your presence would be with us and that you would teach us how to stay in your presence. Thank you, family.
As Pastor O was preaching, I am a woman of definitions, and so I was looking up the word tarry in the Hebrew from the verse that he shared, or in the Greek, I guess, from the verse that he shared in Luke, and was thinking, you know, when I wait, I don't always wait patiently. Sometimes I'm pacing, sometimes I'm, you know, as he mentioned, doing other things while I'm waiting, but the word tarry in the Greek implies a settling, a waiting and settling and staying in a place or in a position or in a season. So I just throw that out there as we think about and as we come to understand more from God, what it actually means to wait and to tarry in His presence. Hannah's playing with me this morning.
We've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in His holy word. He's never failed me yet. We've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, leaning on the Lord, trusting in His holy word,
trusting in His holy word.
He's never failed me yet,
He's never failed me yet.
Please do continue to put your praise reports and prayer requests into the chat. Thank you so much, Steve, for lifting this up. For those during the pandemic who have been convinced that their solitude should continue, help them to discern the importance of their fellow people and help them to wait for that discernment. Thank you. And Matt and I, your prayer requests for healing and peace in the family. And Rebecca, amen, getting her PhD in English at WashU in St. Louis this fall, celebrating a 3-month relationship anniversary, praising God for His grace. Amen. Amen. God, I thank you so much that you hear the prayers of your people. I thank that you see all of creation, that there is no part of this world, there is no part of any of our lives that escape you. But you are aware of it all. God, you are a sovereign God. You are in all places at the same time. You know, you set the end from the beginning. You are the Alpha and the Omega. And you are God who is in between. You are all powerful, all knowing, dear Lord. And we thank you. And I come to you today recognizing that you are sovereign God. God, I thank you because taking the journey of life, whether we recognize it's a journey with you or we don't recognize quite that it's a journey with you, it does a process on a person. And God, if we think about even this time of the pandemic, so much has happened. So many of a person's belief likely have been challenged during this time. Things that we knew to be certain, things that we were convinced of, came up under scrutiny. Things that we weren't sure about before became more certain during this time. And God, the reality is, even as we are exiting this time of pandemic, and even over the next couple of months and in years, in this country and other countries is different, dear God, even as we are transitioning, there's going to be a need to just reset. And a need to recalibrate and to recalculate and probably to understand who we are in you and who you are and who our neighbor is next to us. God, we know that you didn't make man to stay alone. And we know that you made people to be in community and not to be isolated. So God, I pray first for the mending of mindset, and I pray for the mending of relationships. I pray that new relationships will form. And that people will come and find communities of support and love and hope and graciousness toward each other and mercy, dear God. That people won't stay secluded, but people will find a life-giving community where they can move forward in all the things that you've called them to. God, we thank you so much for healing. We thank you so much for health. Dear God, we thank you so much for divine provision, and we pray for Matt and Io and their family and anybody else's family that you would be Jehovah Rapha, that you would be the Lord God who heals. We pray that you would be the God of peace, for in your presence is joy, dear God, and we know that you give peace that the world does not give, and so the world cannot take away. And God, we pray that you would make that peace in their family. Peace that comes from keeping their mind stayed on you. God, we thank you so much for those who are going from one program to the next program. Maybe going from one accomplishment to a higher pursuit of a different accomplishment. God, I pray that you would go before them. I pray that you would go before them, just like you said that you would go before the children of Israel, and that you would send your angel in before them, and that you would prepare, and that you would clear out the place of promise so that they can embrace it. God, I pray that you would go before every person who's making a transition, and that you would prepare the relationships ahead of time. I pray that you will prepare the resources, dear God. I pray that you will prepare the physical environment and the spiritual environment, dear God. I pray that you would prepare the help, the people who are going to train them and nurture them and care for them. God, I know that when I came here to this place, you prepared for me. You made relationships here so that when I got here, I was not starting from scratch, dear God, but you made it a way to bring people who are like-minded and like-spirited. I had a home away from home. I had a family away from family. I had a new community where I left my previous community. God, I pray that you would do for each of them all that you have done for me. God, we thank you so much for transition. God, we thank you so much, and we pray for health. That Ozzy lifts up for her dad and her brother's sleep cycle, dear God. We pray so much that you would give them rest. Dear God, you say that you are one who neither sleeps nor slumbers, so that we can have rest. God, I pray that you would remove anything that may be causing them to be awake, whether it be anxiety or whether it may be fear or discomfort, dear God. Things that have shown up in my life that causes me to not want to give things over into your hands. God, I pray that you would give them an overwhelming sense of peace, that you would lead them beside still waters, that you will cause their souls to rest in who you are. God, I thank you so much for what Mark Henry lifts up, discernment to know when God wants him to wait and when God wants him to move. And God, I thank you so much even for what Isaiah 40:31 says, but those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. God, I also lift up in the area of health. Rebecca says, Charles is having appendix on his surgery tomorrow. God, I thank you because you are a divine physician. And I pray that you would be the chief physician under his surgery. I pray that you would guide the hands of all the medical staff and support, that you will give them wisdom that is beyond natural wisdom, that they will see things in the divine, that they will have an understanding that is beyond human comprehension. And God, I just pray for a sterile environment and that you will allow all things to go according to your will, that you would bring him out with a new testimony, that you will bring him out with a new praise, that you will bring him out with a new declaration of who you are and what you can do. And not just for him, God, but everyone around him will be able to look on his situation and to give you glory. God, we thank you so much. We pray for the interviews that are coming up for anyone who is seeking their next step for Rebecca's sister. God, we thank you for all the prayers of your people. We thank you for the prayers that are unspoken. God, we thank you so much for those who don't even know to pray to you, but they may confide in us, and we can lift it up and pray on their behalf. God, this week, help us to remain in your presence. Help us to tarry. Help us to wait. Help us to not be in a rush to move on. God, I need it. I need it, dear Lord. And I pray that as a people, we would wait on you. God, have your will and your way in this place. We thank you for all things. In the precious name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, family. I pray that God will just go before you and help you in all the new steps and next steps that are coming. But even as you complete this transition, as you cross over into something new, God bless you on today. And I look forward to seeing you real soon. And I do pray that we'll be able to gather virtually on Thursday for our game night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Look out for an email with more information and bring a friend. Thank you so much, family. God bless you on today. Yes, and I'm going to hang out at the hospitality table, which is in a section called Sessions. It'll take me a few minutes to get there, but I'll hang out there if anybody wants to stop by. Love you, family. So great being with you and seeing you. Bye. Amen. Hannah says bye.